Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I met this little girly. High noon in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, west. Joining us right now is our friend Mr. Mike Jones from The Athletic. Jonesy, what's up, dude? How you been?
How we doing?
We are doing quite well, man. Let's start here in Ashburn and zoom out around the league. The Commanders, 7-3 through 10 games, have looked really good. But now you wonder, the two best opponents they've played in the Ravens and the Steelers have both been losses. What'd you make of that Steelers game? Went down to the wire. They lose by a point, but showed some trouble spots along the way.
Yeah, down to the wire, like you said. So they were competitive. But I think that, although I think that spot was bad, there still were other things that happened earlier in the game that put them in that situation that, that they shouldn't have been there. And so they had an opportunity to not even leave it up to a last second drive. But look, it's a young team. They're growing. Our expectations obviously have changed from when we went into the season. Everybody was, not expecting that they'd be leading their division. And so now you're hoping that they can really go somewhere. But this is part of being a young team, learning how to win, learning how to put teams away. So they've got to work on that. A little attention to details and things like that. And so, yes, they've had two tough games against quality opponents. And now they're about to have another tough test. Basically, this next stretch they're going to have with, divisional games stacked on each other, that'll really be a truth teller for them where they are, where they're going, and what the expectations down the stretch of the season can be.
Mike, how big of a plus you think Lattimore is going to be for this team?
Well, if he can stay healthy, I think it'll be a big plus for them. That obviously has been an area where they have been weak in their secondary, and you kind of have some guys who are being asked to do things that maybe they're not quite ready for. So if you throw a veteran, multiple time Pro Bowl selection there into the mix, then you kind of bump some guys down from where they are, and they're probably playing more in their roles. Instead of covering number one receivers, you got him covering number one receivers, and maybe you have a few stops or takeaways where you're getting off the field a little sooner on third downs. And so, again, if he can stay healthy, it's going to be a big plus for their secondary. It's not going to fix everything, but when you have a talented guy like that, it helps in your secondary. It also helps your guys up front because the quarterback's having to hold on to the ball a little bit longer while a guy tries to get open and away from a talented defensive back.
And then, Mike, specific to this matchup Thursday night, for all the trouble Philly was having, all of a sudden they look absolutely on fire. What do you think going into Thursday night? Commanders have a ton of injuries, short week. Philly seems relatively healthy. Kind of what are some keys you're looking at in this ballgame?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Philly was taking some lumps early on because they were not healthy. They had a number of injuries, and now they've kind of weathered that storm, and they're starting to look like themselves again. Obviously, you got to look up front. You've got to be effective in the trenches on both sides of the ball. That is where it all starts. Philly, yes, obviously. You talk about Jalen Hurts. You talk about, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and now Saquon Barkley. But, they have a pretty decent offensive line. Early on, they were kind of, dealing with guys, growing into their roles and then also dealing with some injuries. But now the Eagles seem like everybody's kind of figured things out and they're running the ball well. You want to be able to take the run away from them, and it's going to be hard because of Saquon Barkley. But if you can do that, obviously it doesn't mean that everything you're out of the woods because they've got a talented wide receiver tandem and a pretty good tight end. But you just want to make a team one-dimensional, try to bring pressure and get after Jalen Hurts and hopefully force him into some mistakes.
Talking with Mike Jones here from The Athletic, of course, covered the Commanders, the Burgundy and Gold for a very long time, has covered the NFL all over the country. Hey, Jonesy, one specific one that I think isn't maybe getting the talk it should, that I think has been really impressive, is how good Dante Fowler has been for this team. You know, you're talking about a veteran that's been in the league a while, only, I believe, has one double-digit sack season on his resume, is on track for another one. How impressed have you been by Fowler?
Yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, coming in, you kind of wondered, okay, who's going to be? They don't really have a pass rushing presence. Who's going to be there? And like you said, he has not had a lot of double-digit sack seasons, but he is excelling in this defense with Dan Quinn. Just goes to show, look, he's got ability. It's about fit. So many times we wonder why guys aren't living up to their potential, but how are they being used? What is the understanding of the coach that is drawing up the schemes for them? And you have somebody in Dan Quinn who understands what Dante Fowler is capable of and how to put him in positions to succeed. And so, yeah, you know, he's making a difference for them. It's much needed. And, you know, we'll see if he can keep this up and where this defense can go once they start. You know, you have him coming off the edge, making an impact. You throw a lot more in there, and then they've steadily improved throughout the, you know, since the start of the season, because I was really like, man, you know, they might have, you know, good offense, but this defense can't stop anybody. Mm-hmm. But they're definitely getting better, and Fowler is making his presence felt.
We sat here, Brian Robinson, we talk a lot about him, and I know JP and I, we cover this thing so closely, and we're here all the time. But for someone on our side looking in, how do you see this team with him and without him?
Oh, well, I think when you have him, obviously it all starts with Jaden. But when you have Robinson, it's just another threat. It's a more consistent attack. With their offense, it definitely is when it's at its best, when they're able to run the football and you're able to lean on a workhorse back that's able to get tough yards and wear down the defense, you know. And so when they don't have him, I think that the numbers show that you know, Jaden is, you know, he's still very good, but I don't think that the offense has been quite as balanced, quite as effective. And so you definitely need to get Robinson back because, you know, again, not taking anything away from Eckler, and the other guys, but they're just not him. And you have a strong, powerful, big back, and that makes a big difference.
All right, let's zoom out a little bit from Commanders-Eagles and talk about the rest of the league. Obviously, you cover the whole league for The Athletic. I'm looking at your Twitter account this morning, at By Mike Jones, if you want to follow Jonesy, national NFL writer for The Athletic. You've written, talked a lot about this Bears situation. It's a disaster. I think rolling into the year with Eberflus was a problem anyway. Right. It's a self-preservation league, so now they have fired the offensive coordinator, which isn't going to make any difference. What's going on out there? How much is this screwing up Caleb Williams?
That's the thing. It's like, you had the opportunity to draft a generational talent, and it's like you got this Ferrari, and you're getting Walmart tires and Walmart oil to run in this thing that needs, like, top-of-the-line stuff. Why in the world would you try to go cheap and stick with Matt, you know, Eberflus, who is, I mean, his track record just says he's not a very good coach. You know, he doesn't know how to evaluate talent, not just players wise, but as far as assistant coaches go, because he hired Luke Getsy to be his offensive coordinator and they fired him. And everybody thought that Justin Fields was the problem, and Justin Fields goes to Pittsburgh and, hey, he's with an offense that understands how to ease pressure on him and not ask him to do too much. And he looks like he's okay. And they're, you know, 4-2. So, maybe
does get benched, though. I think the passing is still a problem with Fields.
But I'm just saying, like, you are able to mask some of that stuff. We saw in Pittsburgh, you know, they were able to be more successful and run a balanced offense because they understood, okay, here's what his limitations are. Let's put him in this situation to kind of ease some pressure on him. Whereas in Chicago, they were like, well, we don't know what to do. Let's just have this fool run around the field a whole lot, you know, and see if that works. Now, you get another offensive coordinator who might be the one branch off of the Shanahan disciple tree that doesn't know how to direct an offense and build it around a young quarterback and ease pressure on him. Because Shane Waldron must have been asleep in class the day that they said, hey, the run game is a young quarterback's best friend, because they tried to put way too much stuff on Caleb Williams instead of, you know, think about it. The Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, any of those guys, Kevin O'Connell, you know, they run the football, they move the pocket, they get the play action attack involved. And the defense, there's a little bit of hesitation because you can't just pin back your ears and go after the quarterback. Well, they're having Caleb Williams throw 30, 40, 50 times a game, and he's holding on to the ball too long, and he's trying to scramble and be Superman. When it's like, dude, get the ball to your hands quickly, quick reads, run the football. And they weren't doing any of that stuff. And so now we'll see if Thomas Brown, who was in the, you know, in L.A. under Sean McVay, see if he can help bring some more balance. He's a former running back himself. See if he can help a little bit. But basically, Caleb Williams is going to have to start all over again. I don't see how they bring back their head coach. They need, you know, wide sweeping changes. And then he's going to have to learn a new offense. And we know when a young quarterback has to start all over again, and learn a new language, learn a new way of doing things, it can be a struggle. So we'll see what happens, but it's disappointing for him, but not at all surprising, considering what, you know, the track record was there.
Well, let me ask you this question, though, but this offense is ran by Caleb basically checking and doing everything from the line of scrimmage. I've seen this over and over again. So what are they going to do, take that away from him? Because that seemed like something he likes to do and want to do, but I don't see his receivers being very happy with him because he doesn't do anything on schedule. So Will the offensive coordinator change all that up?
Hey, remember the way they started the season? They would not let Jaden Daniels throw the ball any more than like 5 yards downfield. It was like, quick, get the ball to your hands. They were keeping him on a leash as they brought him along. I'm not saying that Caleb Williams isn't smart enough to recognize what a defense is going to go, but you're too young. Kyle Shanahan doesn't even let veteran quarterbacks make a whole lot of changes in his offense, because he's like, get to the line, run the play, get, you know, snap the ball for the defensive set. Let's roll that way. You can't have a rookie quarterback calling basically his own shots and things like that. It's way too much on him. And then, as you see, he's holding on to the ball. He's trying to scramble and trying to outrun everybody. This isn't college. You can't outrun these 325-pound defensive linemen anymore. And then, like you said, the wide receivers are frustrated. So the new play caller is going to have to rein them in a little bit and be like, hey, you've got all the ability, but we've got to simplify here. You know, we're going to take some off your plate so that way you have less to think about and you can just execute and operate and see if we can run this thing on schedule. It's not might be something that he wants to do, but it's probably the best thing for him right now.
It's interesting. We're talking with our friend Mike Jones from The Athletic. And I know on a personal level, maybe not when the Bears came to town, but Caleb's a local kid, Gonzaga, grew up in Bowie. Like, I want him to find success, because whether he deserves it or not, he's become kind of polarizing and all these things. Doesn't look like it's happening. A place where I enjoy the opposite of success, the spectacular failures they seem quite capable of producing, is Dallas. How big of a mess is what's going on down there? And is this as bad as you've seen it in some time?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't help the injuries. You know, it's unfortunate what happened to Dak. But I felt like Jerry Jones made a huge, huge mistake in sticking with Mike McCarthy as his head coach when he had proven that, okay, maybe you'll win regular season games, but when, you know, the game's on the line and you need creativity, you need some, you know, variety, he doesn't have a counterpunch. And that's why the Cowboys underachieve. And now here you have this year where, you know, everybody's got the whole playbook on them and McCarthy was not able to evolve his offense. They neglected the running back position. All just bad decision-making all around. And so, yeah, this is the bed that Jerry Jones made for himself, for his team, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, probably 2 years ago when Sean Payton was available, that's when he should have fired Mike McCarthy after they wet the bed in the playoffs, and they should have gone a different direction. But they did not, and here they are paying for it right now.
Well, where do they go? Because I would think that any coach with any kind of like status and wants authority, Jerry won't want them and they won't want to deal with Jerry. So what is he going to do this time?
Yeah, that's the big question, because I don't know who's going to want to go there. It's not going to be Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is not going to stand for Jerry Jones giving press conferences after every game before he even talks. That happens. Jerry Jones talks before the head coach talks. You know, that's just not going to work. And if you were the head coach, now we did see Jerry Jones. He kind of, you know, gave over a little bit of control when he had Bill Parcells, but I still just can't see Bill Belichick wanting to get in bed with that. And so I don't know. He's hired a bunch of yes men ever since, you know, Bill Parcells. And so he's probably going to have to find somebody else that's willing to deal with the circus. And, you know, I don't know. Is Jerry Jones happy being competitive? Because if he's competitive, they're still selling tickets. They're selling jerseys and everything. But does he really, really want to win a Super Bowl? Then if you do, you take a back seat and you let somebody else run the show. And I don't see him doing that.
See, Jonesy, you're supporting my theory. There's three types of NFL head coaches, guys that get these jobs. There is the schematic mind, the guy that's just going to have the best concepts and wow an owner. There is the people mind, like the motivator, like the Dan Quinn, like building this brotherhood, that type of mind. And then there's the third type, which is just the pigeon of ownership or management, just the guy that has to do what is told to do because that's how you get the job. And clearly in Dallas, you have to be one brand to take that gig.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had the opportunity to hire Marvin Lewis, you know, who had a lot of success in Cincinnati. You know, I know they never got over the hump there, but they were a disaster before he took them over, and they were consistent and competitive. He did not hire him. He hired Mike McCarthy. He stuck with Mike McCarthy far longer than he should have. And so, you know, Mike McCarthy's happy to be there. Jason Garrett was happy to be there. He's probably going to find somebody else who's happy
Jason's
to be there.
Still smiling.
Yeah, exactly.
probably got a head coaching job 6 years longer than he should have.
Mike, you hear all kind of things around town, and like this is the second time this go around of Shador and Deion going to Dallas.
Oh boy.
Okay. You have anything to amend it or to dismiss it?
I don't know, but nothing would surprise me. That would be just so Jerry, so flashy. You know, it would, you know, I did say that to my boss just the other day when she was like, man, like, you know, now we got Cooper Rush. I said, hey, this is the perfect plan. Keep tanking for Shador and Deion. Now, again, I'm joking. I have not heard anybody say that. But again, it wouldn't surprise me at all, you know?
Oh, my Lord. They're not tanking. They're just getting their ass kicked.
Right, yeah.
Let's be real.
You know, it's like
be real about
lining,
that.
You know?
Yes.
Hey, Jonesy, last one. Who's the best team in football?
Kansas City Chiefs, man. They are 9-0.
Gotta be, right?
It doesn't matter what the odds are. They find a way to win, you know, and it wasn't luck that they blocked that kick. I have seen
That's
a
Dave
lot
told,
of field
baby.
Goals. Watch. Did you watch a lot of those field goals this week? And every week, the guys are always trying to go over the top. Well, they blew up the base of those guys on that one side, and they bowled them backwards, and the second wave came through and blocked that. That was schematic. That was fantastic execution. And their defense is better than what it's ever been. Their run game is better than what it's ever been. Passing game isn't as explosive because they don't have the field stretching wide receivers to do it. But you've got the most clutch playmaking quarterback in the history of the game, maybe. You know, we'll see. You know, in a great offensive mind, this team is just as battle-tested as any team you'll ever see. And so, yeah, my money is on the Chiefs against anybody.
I mean, how much do you think John Mara wishes he just let Steve Spagnuolo get a real chance to coach the Giants when he blew that staff out?
But Dave Tobe knows how to attack you on special teams.
Well, and I'm going to make my second linebacker reference that I wanted this organization to draft. It was N'Kobe Dean was one of them. Leo Chenal was the other one who actually blocked that kick that the Chiefs took in the third round. Jonesy, thank you, man. How's
right,
Delaware? Everything
appreciate
good?
Appreciate you, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Mike Jones right there. Ooh. From The Athletic. Give him a follow at by Mike Jones. Does a great job covering the whole league. We always appreciate him making time for us. I don't know that we're going to – I fear we might run out of time, but maybe we'll even open the phone lines about this. I do want to just ask a question. How important is the Eagles game? Nobody go anywhere.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
B.
Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Here's what I'm going to do. Press the button, Jeff. Phone line's open, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I know a bunch of people are asking in the chat if we're going to open the phones. I just did. So call if you want. Right now, Washington is 2-0 in the division. They've swept the Giants, and they have a 7-3 record. Right now, the Philadelphia Eagles have already had their bye, so some of this is going to be a little more complicated because of the byes. The Eagles are 7-2. They are also 2-0 in the division. They've beat the Giants and the Cowboys, I believe. First of two between Washington and the Eagles over the next five, right? So it's Eagles, Cowboys, Titans, Saints, Eagles. Yeah. Two of the next five are against the Eagles. Now, that's spread out over 6 weeks because the bye's in the middle there. Washington has now is coming off a loss. It was close. They lost by a point, but W's and L's are all that matter.
Yep.
Half game behind, playing in Philadelphia. How important is this game, Brian Mitchell?
It's very important. I mean, if they win this game, they're in a position now where they're 3-0 in the division. They're back in first place.
Either
in
side.
The division. Okay? And then you get to see, you see the Eagles again. You're going to see – then you don't see the Cowboys until much later. It gives them, like, an advantage, you know. So it's very important. I mean, we can't – this game here, and I'm sure everyone that has to talk to a coach, the next game is the most important.
Sure.
This is the most important game they've seen this year.
Yeah, you know what was funny is I don't remember where I was doing a hit, but somebody asked me, you know, what's the most important game for the Commanders of the next four? And I was like, it's that Eagles game. And it's not that close because the Cowboys are a mess. And while you never want to count out a division game, the Cowboys seem to be falling apart. Dak's now done for the season. They're 3-6. And, Jerry's talking about the location of the moon. Like, things are a mess in Dallas. They've already played. Washington's already played and beat New York twice.
Yes.
So whatever New York does or does not become over the last second half of the season doesn't really matter. They're not going to see him in the playoffs. And whether it's Tommy DeVito, Danny DeVito, Daniel Jones, Tommy Lee Jones, whoever lines up a quarterback for them, like it doesn't matter to the Burgundy of Gold at this point.
True.
What Philly does matters tremendously. And if you consider, because now the bye weeks, eventually this will all even out. But if Philly wins and gets to 8-2, and then Washington's at 7-4, that is then a game and a half gap,
yeah.
A direct a head to head loss, and Philly's at 3-0 in the division. Washington's 2-1 with a head to head loss.
Yeah,
just from a yo, let's figure out how this all shakes out playoff picture situation. That'd be pretty significant because just with the loss to the Steelers. The Commanders fell from the 2 seed in the NFC all the way down to the 6. And you don't want to get ahead of anything, but if you get to 7-4, the Vikings are 7-2, the Packers are 6-3. Like, a lot could start to – there could be a lot of moving parts. You want to win every game. This one is vital. Not to mention, B, I'm curious if you buy into this at all. I don't think Dan Quinn and this bunch of dudes want to lose 2 in a row.
True. I don't think either of them want to lose it. But, like, you know, the thing of it is I don't even care about playoffs and all that stuff. I care about the fact of your record being better and you beating the teams in your division. I've always had the mindset that if you can beat everybody in your division, you win your division, you're in the playoffs. So it comes naturally. All the seeds and all that stuff right now, I can care less about that. But beating the Eagles, it puts you ahead of everybody in your division. So that every division game has a little bit more weight to it.
100%.
And if they go up there and they beat them, you know, you're basically telling people, look, we're here. And I think the ultimate thing is we started this season just hoping that they could show us that Jaden was the guy. We know that now. And now we know that they're good enough to go out there. And you can win. You beat the Eagles. Also, you shut up some of the people saying they haven't beaten anybody. You beat who the hell is on your schedule. But if you beat them, then now you can shut up some of those other people, which is going to be people still talking, especially them damn dumbass Bears fans. They're going to talk just to talk.
Good luck, Bears fans. You just fired your OC and the team's a mess.
Get a life.
I think it's undeniable this one is vitally important. That doesn't mean if it goes the wrong way, you've got 10 days before you play the Cowboys. And you play them at home, and you can right the ship. But, Lanfield, you asked the question. It's your question on the show sheet. How important is this Eagles game to you?
Mostly because it's a division game. I want to see them do well. It's also because it's a primetime game. You know, this is theoretically there's going to be a lot of people watching out there. I'd like for the team to not go out there and embarrass themselves.
I mean, that's fair. They've been good in primetime so far this season. That Bengals game was super impressive. You know, the Bears game wasn't necessarily primetime, but it was a national audience. I also think there is an incredibly good chance. I'm looking at week 16 and 17 definitely as heavy flex candidates. If you look at week 16 in the NFL, the Monday night game for week 16, and so the window for when ESPN is able to request games to be flexed opens week 16. Right now, that is Packers-Saints. I can't imagine that's the game they want when they know you've got Washington versus Philly on that Sunday. I think if you look at the Sunday night game is Bucks-Cowboys. Like, both of those national broadcasts, I would expect to get changed. So Eagles Commanders would be a major, major candidate for either one of those. You look elsewhere on that Week 16 schedule. The Ravens are playing the Steelers, but that's Saturday afternoon at 4:30. That's going to stay there. It's really, the Sunday 1 o'clocks are what could get moved around a bit. And the Eagles Commanders is by far the best game on the calendar. I also think week 17, when Atlanta comes to town, that's a straight-up TBD right now anyway. Lions-Niners is the Monday nighter. They're not going to change that. Dolphins-Browns, B, Sunday night game? Mm-hmm. You think that's staying there?
Nah.
No way. Nah. And you've already got Cowboys-Eagles slated for Sunday at 4:30. Now, you are going to have Saturday games, so some of these are going to – and there's less inventory that week because that's the Christmas Day games already. But Washington-Atlanta, I think, will be a highly coveted game. You do have Packers-Vikings is that week currently mm-hmm. scheduled for Sunday at 1 o'clock. I don't think that stays Sunday at 1 o'clock. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts. If you want to recalibrate the primetime discussion with some of this, win Thursday night. Like, let people not think you aren't ready for prime time. Simple question. How important is this Eagles game? Let's go to Deacon in D.C.
What up, Deke?
Hey, guys, what's going on? You know, first of all, we're not an afterthought anymore, period. I'm from the school of any given Sunday. That's number one. This is a critical game, but every game is critical. Every game is pivotal from this point on. This is week 10, week 11. So every game, depending on your bye, every game is pivotal. It's pivotal. Again, the Washington Commanders was a byword for 30 years. Now they winning. Now folks want it. Now they win. What if? What if? No. And we're not asking you for nothing. We're taking everything we want. From the top down and from the bottom to the top. That's all I got.
There you have it. Strong call. Every game is important, to say the least.
Yeah.
Alton is in Richmond. How big is Thursday night?
It's real big because they took one from us on Sunday. But like I said, I'm not worrying about that because I'm a diehard Commanders fan. But I just want to, you know, say I appreciate all the work you and B. Mitch do, man. Y'all do good, but Commanders gonna get the Eagles because everybody keeps saying, well, they really ain't beat nobody. Well, really, nationality, Pittsburgh had to beat us by 1 point. So I feel that all the jumping and dancing around that they was doing on Sunday, they was making themselves look like a bunch of clowns, because if you came in there with the mentality to beat the Commanders, why you only beat them by 1 point?
All right, brother.
Are you saying the NFL took that?
Yeah, I'm saying because that was a first down, man.
Sure looked like one to me.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all. Go ahead. Or maybe they cut you off. Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. How important is Thursday's game against Philly?
Very important.
It's easy to say, you only play 17, they're all the same.
I know everybody likes to say just the Cowboys is just it, but I'm going to tell you, ever since way back in the day, playing against the Eagles have been always a tough-ass game, and it meant a lot when you had to play against them, and I think it's still that way.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's do this. We'll keep the phone lines going on the other side of a quick break. If you're on hold, don't worry, we're coming to you. Also going to get Jeff Walker on this. Nobody go anywhere.
Hi, Jeffrey.
106.7 The Fan. Simple question, how important is Thursday's game against the Eagles? I want to give my man Jeffrey a chance. Jeff, you know what? That got me thinking. How important is this game, and how does a Thursday night game impact the hype song schedule?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, too.
Well, fellas, I have been thinking and writing for the past 2 days since the game stopped because I got to make sure it's in on Thursday. But this game is very important. One, because I hate every team in our division. Whether it's the Eagles, the Giants, the Cowboys, I have an equal hate for them from the fan perspective. From the team perspective, this is a very big game. You know, we're playing Philly. Philly is who we're battling in the division with for control. Yo, if we beat them Thursday night, I believe we can sweep them in Philadelphia too. And honestly, I'm going to call it right now. Hopefully, I'm right.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
We sweeping the division this year.
Wow, 6-0.
6-0 in the division. I'm calling it. Especially if we get past Philly on Thursday, I'm riding high on the Ashburn syndrome.
You might be riding high, but I don't know what it's on.
All right, so Jeff thinks it's a big game, and they're going to sweep it.
Jeff know how he is with the thought process sometimes, man.
let's go to our guy, Cairo's in Ashburn. Cairo, what up, man?
Hey, you hear me?
We got you.
Yeah, got you.
All right, cool. There was some choppiness with the phone earlier. Just want to make sure.
That was Jeff breathing.
Okay. Good to know. this game is very important for me personally because I was stationed in South Jersey for about 4 years and I had to listen to their talk radio, and I've come to the conclusion that the Eagles fan base is the worst fan base on the planet. So I want them to lose, if only for that. I actually want them to lose so much I root for the Cowboys every time they play the Eagles. So the whole situation about this season,
can't ever do that. If you're a real fan of the Command, you can't ever cheer for the damn Cowboys.
Yeah.
Hold on now.
Just root for an asteroid.
No, man. No, I'm not letting that go.
Hate the Eagles.
I think you just root for a power outage.
I'm sorry. I can't help it. I hate them.
All right. Hate them. F them. Toothpick on line two. Pick, how big of a game?
JP, what's good, man? How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
All right. I'm good. B, what's happening, man? Listen.
Good, man.
Your question is, how important is this game? This game is everything, right? It's the only thing that matters right now, just like every game. But it's different because it counts for two, right? It's a divisional game. It counts for two. So it's no tomorrow. It's just focusing on this game right here, single-mindedly, everybody going the same way. Thanks for taking my call, B.
Thanks, bro. Buddy.
Appreciate you, man. Toothpick in the hizzy.
It's certainly the most important thing right now. Yeah. And I do think it is a little bit – the division games are more important because that's your path to a home playoff game. Like, that's
– hell yeah.
If you have to think about one thing that really went poorly in the Rivera era was the division games. And even the Gruden era before that, it's – if you can't compete and beat the teams that you're playing twice a year, it doesn't really matter how good you stack up against the teams you play once a year, because that changes all the time.
True.
And I think this team is trying to build something that is a perennial contender. And if you're going to be a perennial contender, if you're going to be a perennial playoff team, you got to be able to beat the guys that you play six times.
Totally.
You got to be positioned to win four out of the six, two out of the three. Whatever you want to go 6-0 for sure. But you got to have a winning record in these games if you're going to have a winning record in seasons. And if you're going to have a winning record in seasons, that's going to get you into the playoffs year after year after year and build something real with a real foundation, something that's tangible, which is what ownership talks about and the general manager talks about and the head coach talks about. And frankly, that seems like Jaden's type of vision,
and every
too.
Every player understands. You know, it, like people always say, we want to make it to the playoffs. Well, if you want to make it to the playoffs, beat the teams in your division. It's an easier route then.
We didn't talk about we talked at length about the corner or the receiver position causing you more concern. Mm-hmm. The weather Thursday night looks chance of rain, probably a little wind. Listen, we're getting into late November in the Northeast. Like I said, the weather ain't going to be great. That's just the reality, right? What's your level of concern with Zacchaeus returning punts? Because he's going to be the guy.
You know what? I believe that Izzo, Larry's going to get to him. And like the things I was discussing yesterday, he's going to be taught all that and told all that. It's just an adjustment. You watch him catch balls. So he's trying to, and all that, this thing been killing me today, the damn chat about every time he says something about my paws. One finger salute. All right. He got to stop trying to catch the ball up high into his shoulder pads and just go a little lower.
And bring it in with your hands.
Yeah, like bring it in with
your hands. Like you can meet it high, but bring it in.
Look it in.
Yeah.
No, but he's allowed it to hit his shoulder pads. One step back and it'll drop just a little bit lower in your stomach area, and he'll be good.
Let's hope on that one for sure.
Yeah.
Gary is in District Heights. G, how big of a game is this?
Yes, this is the most urgent game of our season, because what we want to do is we want to set the tone. And we want to put it in the Eagles' head that they cannot beat us. Our guys really felt bad giving that game to the Steelers. And I'm telling you, that locker room is fired up, and you're going to see a totally different team. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. You hope you see a different team. But honestly, I don't want to see a different team. They were pretty good against Pittsburgh. You want to see a team that just cleans up the mistakes. You know, I think it was little simple stuff that got you. I think the drops is a lack of execution, lack of attention maybe, lack of focus in the moment. The Jaden finished 50%, right? He finished, I think, 17 to 34. Say they make catches on half of the drops, 60% of the drops, all of a sudden he's at 21 out of 34. I think you got, dude, if you get turnovers in this game, I keep going back to, they had a 10-point lead in the third quarter and then got two turnovers and didn't generate points off them.
Yeah.
You got
to get something out of those.
Or
they just got six. It's, you know, they didn't get anything.
You know how many first downs they got off two turnovers?
Zero.
One.
It was three and three out. It was four.
So they got the interception, and it was a four and out because Terry got like the 25-yarder, but then they went backwards. Jaden took a sack on second down, and then the Diami throw QB throwback pitcheroo that was a disaster. So they had to punt there, and then on that next possession. Now, granted, it was first and 10 from their own one. That's where I think you really missed having Brian Robinson. Was just a banger to at least get you out, but you got to take advantage when you get opportunities. And I was really surprised they did not. And frankly, you know, I think there's a million things, and fans want to point to the first down at the end of the game, and I think the earth spot was bad. Johnny Newton can't jump off sides. There were drops or all these things. But when your defense gives you opportunities in the second half of a home game to win games, you got to take advantage. And that's on everyone involved.
Yeah, and that just comes down to a little bit more mental focus this week. You know, the physical thing is there, but mental focus is going to take you on the other side, because – when you look at the game that we just lost, it was mental. Not catching the ball, it's more mental. You know,
jumping off sides with the game on the line.
Jumping off sides, And if you heard, Jeff mentioned it yesterday as well. Mike Tomlin, said, don't snap the effing ball. They weren't snapping that ball right there.
You would have had a chance.
Yeah.
You would have had a chance. Maybe it's a 1% chance.
And in defense of the player don't see it. And you know, I saw that kid's face, man.
Oh, dude.
That dude was hurt, man.
Yeah.
And you know, and you're going to make mistakes in games. But you know what? When you see that it matters to a person, I get on the other side with it. I'm pulling for him.
Dude, and that is a penalty of aggression. That's a penalty of trying to make a big stop. That's not something stupid after a play where you throw a punch or you take your helmet off. You know what I mean? There are stupid penalties, and then there's penalties because you're trying to help your team win. Does it stink in the moment? Of course, but Johnny Newton's got a very bright future. I wouldn't change my opinion there. Barry Svrluga joins us next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.